going to continue our series on the good life. You know, all of us want a good life. A lot of people I meet, most of them, all right, say, I want not just an average life, I don't want to tolerate life, I want to experience the good life. And there's a path of how you get to the best life ever. There's a clear path. Our culture has one, right, that you can go, and the Bible opens, invites us into maybe a different way of what the good life looks like. And in John 10:10, Jesus said, I came to bring life and life to the fullest, like a flourishing, dynamic, vibrant, Jesus-looking life. And on that path, there's like these like signposts, things that you can see that are like indicators of, hey, I'm actually moving towards the good life. We've talked about joy. We've talked about peace. We've talked about love. We've talked about patience. And today we're talking about kindness. And it's easy when you think about, hey, I want to experience more love in my life. Like the way I love is going to help me experience the best life ever, the good life. You might, if you're like me, you just think, oh, okay, great. I'm just going to try harder at loving people, right? I call this the try harder gospel. And we think, oh, I just have more patience in my life. That sounds really good. So you, what do? You're like, I'm not going to get angry. You just like build that quiet rage up a little bit, right? And you think, oh, I can just try harder, then it'll work. But what we see on this path of this good life is like there's this invitation of that it has to be a supernatural experience. It can't just be something I conjure up on my own, because I'll get to a point of where I just can't try harder anymore, where it won't work for me. And when it doesn't work for us, a lot of us, we just do what? Bail. Or if you're a guy, then you'll say, well, I'll just try harder. I'll show myself who's boss. I'm going to try even more, right? And it just doesn't work. How it works is that we need to experience love. We have to experience a life-giving patience. We need to like be able to firsthand see and receive a life-giving peace that transforms us, that goes beyond understanding, so that when we get jostled, when we get squeezed, when we hit like what I call real life, then what comes out of us surprises us. What comes out of you might be love, where before it was hate. That totally transforms the conversation. Then our kindness isn't just a nice little slap on the back. It isn't just like, here's some cookies. It's a kindness that can actually transform your home. It's a kindness that can transform like your office. It's a kindness that can transform, I honestly believe this, can transform an entire neighborhood. That's a lot more than just trying harder. And kindness is one of those things, like, if we were going to talk about forgiveness, people, if you said, okay, we want to grow in forgiveness, a lot of people might say, oh, man, that's hard. Like, forgiveness is, like, not easy. And some people might say, I don't know how good I am. I'm really not that good at forgiveness. But when it comes to kindness, we're all big fans of ourselves when it comes to kindness, right? We all, like, our arms get sore for slapping how kind we are on the back, right? Like, wow, I'm so kind. Why? Because in our worldview, we know our intentions, we know like our hearts, and even though that person might be like weeping from the thing we said, we might say, well, it's on them, because I was kind, right? Like, well, even though like I got really angry at them, it was out of kindness. Why? Because I know how kind I really am. We don't really self-evaluate ourselves too often of saying, well, I'm really not a kind person. I am a horribly mean person. You don't hear a lot of people say that. We think we're very kind. But what we're going to read here that Paul invites us into, kindness looks different. Kindness looks different than just like silently judging someone and smiling, right? Kindness is more than just hugging. Kindness, how we define kindness in the Bible is, we have notes in our program somewhere. If you want to like, if you can write this down if you'd like. And if you're listening on podcasts, you can write on whatever you want. So, kindness is love in action. That's it. Love in action. All these fruits of the Spirit, which Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 5, every single one of these is rooted out of love. The way we have patience, the way we have kindness, the way we have joy has to be rooted out of love. In 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about all these amazing things we can do, and the greatest of them is love. And if we don't have love, then we walk in this world like almost like empty. So the way we go experience a good life is through the lens of love, through the lens of God himself. So here's my invitation. As we talk about kindness, as we talk about love in action. I think a lot of us, we need to experience kindness first. We need to experience a kindness first from God. That your view of God, the way you walk through like your day, the way you walk through your weeks, you might have this feeling of God doesn't notice me. God might love me, but if love is like in action, then I'm missing. God is not that kind. As we talk, my prayer is that you experience the kindness of the kingdom of God. And then where we land, that this kindness is not just a great idea. It's not just, well, I just got to be happier. I just have to like, you know, just like smile more. But this kindness, I absolutely believe, can change a community. And I don't know about you, but that's my heart. And I would say as a Cloquet Vineyard church, like one of the things I hear most often is like, people really like being here. And I'm like, what other churches are you going to where you notice no one wants to be here, right? Like people actually generally want to be here. That's kindness, that we can extend kindness to one another instead of just playing church. Like I want to be a life-giving, transformational, kingdom, Jesus-looking church. So I'm excited about this. We're going to be reading out of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29, all the way through chapter 5, verse 2. And if you don't have a Bible, we have some in the back where you can use your smartphone. And as you are getting to that, let me pray and just ask God just to bless what we're doing. So Jesus, we welcome you. And I thank you that you invite us to be love in action ourselves. That it's not just someone else. It's not like, well, it's their job to be kind. It's their job to extend this kind of love. But you're inviting us. And not just when we're better, not just when we have like all our stuff figured out, but like now. That now you're a good father who wants to do good things in us. And so will you let us receive that, Jesus? We just receive your kindness. In Romans, it talks about God's kindness leads us to repentance. It's God's beautiful heart that helps us move even closer to him. And so we just receive that, Jesus. And I ask that we would extend that kindness to our spouses. We'd extend that kindness to our friends. We'd extend that kindness to our roommates, to our kids, to our employees, to our customers, to our neighbors. God, will you use this community to show kindness to the world? Amen. So starting in verse 29 in chapter 4, Paul says this, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander." I love that. Get rid of all brawling, all right? "Brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you, and follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love." Love that. Walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Walk in the way of love just like Jesus. He's saying the key to all this, the key to all this is that you walk in the way Jesus walked. And how did Jesus walk? He walked by giving up himself over and over and over again. So Paul gives us like this snapshot. And throughout the Bible, we see what kindness looks like. But Paul gives us a snapshot. And Ephesians, the whole book of Ephesians, like Paul is like talking to saying, hey, there's this like Jesus-looking community that is just beautiful. And he lays out different ways it can function, different ways it can form, and how it might look at how it was experienced. Here, he's doing it again. What does kindness look like? But before we get to how we actually can let kindness in us and through us, we have to talk about what kindness isn't. Because we might operate under like these counterfeit ways of kindness. Like these fake ways of kindness. These ways that we think are really kind, but really like that are a little bit different than the way our world views kindness and the way like the kingdom people, the way that the kingdom of God invites us to be kind. Like an artificial kindness. The first one is this. It's a kindness to avoid pain. That you're kind to avoid pain. And you might be here and you're like the peacekeeper in the family, where you see some tension, things building up in the office or like in your extended family or in your family or in your circle of friends, and there's going to be like awkward conversations, or you all saw something happen and you get back together and you're waiting for the first person to bring it up. You're like, hey, so you kidnapped my dog. And they're like, you know, like one of those awkward conversations. And instead of it happening, the first person to step and says, hey, who wants some brownies, right? Of where they step in and to like take the conversation they know that might be painful, and they like totally hijack it and go somewhere different. And they spend time and energy, a lot of time and energy, of making sure that you're okay and you're okay and you're okay and you're okay. And the way a picture is like you're spinning all these plates. You don't want any of them to drop. So you extend a lot of time and energy through being kind, through being happy, and making sure that you're happy and you're schmoopy and you're schmoopy. We're all schmoopy, right? And it sounds like a good idea. The idea of it's like, oh, you're the peacekeeper. You're the peacemaker. And there's an element of it that is very, very healthy. But here's the thing. The way it gets to an artificial kindness is when you're trying to protect yourself from pain. Because you don't like the tension in the family. You don't like the awkward conversations. You don't want to feel that like distance. And you're like, oh, I don't know what to do. I feel so uncomfortable. So you just keep managing all the conversations so that no one ever has to experience that hard thing. So no one has to experience the conflict. You see, when we do that, what we're doing is we're not doing it just for the benefit of them. Really, we might be doing it for ourselves. Why? Because we don't know what to say. We don't know how to respond. And really, we can use the kindness as a way of being selfish. You know, the reality is that there has to be hard conversations. Just avoiding pain over and over and over again in your marriage doesn't lead to the best life ever. Avoiding pain in your friendship by just never dialing up that thing that you did, that thing that they did, the thing that you saw, the thing that you heard, the thing that you saw what they wrote. Just like leaving and saying, oh, I'm just going to be kind to them. At some point, it rears its ugly head. And in the Bible, any time that we put ourselves, our feeling, our needs, our best at the center of our universe, never really like lands the place that we really want. We're hungry for this good life. We're hungry for like healing. We're hungry for wholeness. We just want to like thrive. And when we think, oh, I'll just put like my needs above the other, I'll make my comfort, my awkwardness above everyone else, and I'll just make sure it's okay. What the Bible says is that you're just going to miss the mark. And what we see is Jesus says, will you like trust that I'm this good and beautiful God? Will you just for a second take this like crazy idea and let me be God? And will you put like the way you can love other people and the way that you can trust that God invites people into hard things? One of the things we talk about, I say often here, is good and beautiful. I believe there's a good and beautiful God who has a good and beautiful life for us. Good and beautiful doesn't mean pain-free. Good and beautiful just doesn't mean smile all the time. Good and beautiful is that nothing in this world, no external thing, can move the internal thing that God calls me. Good and beautiful. So kindness we can use as a way just to avoid pain. The second artificial kindness that we do, oh, this is great, is kindness to reveal just how amazing we really are, right? Yeah, you're laughing because it's probably you, right? So how, right? This is me. This is me, right? This is the best example. You're at a store or a restaurant and you hold open the door for someone, like, hey, come on in, how are you doing today? And they don't make eye contact with you. They just put their head down, they walk through, and they don't say thank you. What do you do when you go on your way to hold the door open for someone and they don't say thank you? What's your response? Right? Yeah, usually for me, it's like, you're welcome. You're welcome, sir. Look how great I am. Right? And so why am I doing that? You know, my intention might be good of holding the door open, but why do I feel this need to counterject and say something to him, all right, about how great I am? Because I'm doing it so people can see, look how good Chris is. Wow, look at that shirt. He has killer abs and a great haircut. And he's kind, right? We can use it as a way of self, a tool for self-seeking. That we want people to recognize our accomplishments. We want people to recognize of how hard I worked over this meal. We want people to see of like, I changed that tire for you. Like, we want people to celebrate us. But if you look through the Bible, you look at the person of Jesus. Jesus says, like, true love is this, that you will lay down your life for your friends. It's not like you lay down your life for friends and they all say, wow, thanks, Jesus. Thanks, you're a pretty good guy for dying for us. What did his friends do? They bailed. They ran, right? They're like, let's get out of here. Like, real love is that you're willing to extend the best of yourself. But we use kindness. We use kindness as a way of, like, showing how great we are. So here's my invitation. This is a common one. When you do something kind, when you have love in action, and you feel that, like, ugliness, because that's what it is. You feel like, I have to make that comment. I have to interject my accomplishments that I've made in life. I have to let name drop these people that I know so they know I'm a big deal. When that starts bubbling up, pause. Pause. Be self-aware and think, am I doing this for the betterment of me? Am I the one who's going to win out of this? Because, again, we can use it for selfishness. So we have, like, kindness to avoid pain, to reveal how amazing we really are. And the last one is kindness as a tool and maybe a weapon. See, we can use kindness where we can separate. There's us and then there's them. And the us are the people who help me advance in my career. I'll be kind to a select group of people because they have some sort of function and purpose for me to advance in my life so I can be however you deem success. So these people in my office will talk about me, how great I am, all right? So I, when I run to the boss, they know how kind I am. But these people here, I don't need sales, right? Hey, sales, we're happy for you, right? So I will use my kindness over here and as a weapon against you. I'll use my kindness in this circle of, like, the parents of the, like, my the parents of the in my kids' class. And they could help me to become more successful, to look better, to have some sort of influence. But you people, I don't need you. And as soon as you form your purpose, as soon as you have some sort of, like, function and it's done, my kindness now leaves you to go to the next person, to the next group, to the next client, to the next business. And again, we're being kind for what? Us. You see a common theme here? If we're the ones who win in every conversation, if we're the ones who win in every interaction, the Bible says you're shooting for this good life that you think that you need to be celebrated, that you need to have the recognition, that you need to, quote unquote, win. And that's what our culture says. Get rich or die trying, right? I even heard just today this country song all about this climbing the corporate ladder, right? And, like, laughing all the way up. That's, like, that's culture says you win by doing this. What Jesus says in Philippians 2, will you empty of yourself? Will you take a low position, even though you have all the privilege, all the honor, all the opportunities? Jesus willingly gave that up and lowered himself. Why? That's kindness. Kindness, love, and action. So then what does it really look like? So if kindness isn't just playing some game, if kindness isn't just so that we win, well, Paul talks about in those verses that we just read, he gives us three different examples of what kindness is. That kindness does not need to be some self-serving tool. Let me just say this before I go on. I feel this. There is this fear when I talk about, okay, will you empty of yourself? Will you lay down your dreams? Will you lay down your goals? Will you lay down like your life? We have this fear as humans. This is like a human condition of where we think, well, then I'm going to lose. If I lay down my dreams, if I lay down my goals, if I lay down like all these things I feel like are great and awesome and will bring life to me, if I lay them down, what do I have left? You ever experienced that before? And there's this fear that comes up that we will lack, that we'll be lacking in something. And Jesus calls this the upside-down kingdom where the last shall be first. And he talks to us, invites us throughout like the Gospels and the Sermon on the Mount. We see through the whole story of God, God is saying, but wait, am I enough for you? Can you trust that God is really, really, really good and that he is enough, that he says that he is who he says he is? Because if we can take that path to the good life of like laying down everything, of emptying ourselves, then maybe it might lead to a life that's flourishing. But it's kind of backwards, isn't it? Of laying down our lives so that we can say yes to God and we can give our best to the other. That fear, right? So sometimes we get to that point of that fear and we're like, no, and we go back to holding on and putting ourselves in the center. Like what we're going to talk about here is you're going to, like I'm inviting you, just take a little risk. Just for a moment, entertain the idea of saying, okay, I'm going to take my dreams and my goals, the things I find like value and worth in, and I'm going to put them off to the side. And let's like see Jesus. Because the only way we can do this is if we see Jesus. The first thing that Paul talks about in verse 29 is how do you experience kindness? How you grow in kindness is that there has to be a practical love, a tangible, like something you can put your hands on, love. Verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. What Paul is saying is this, everything you say matters. Is what comes out of your mouth actually benefiting the person in front of you? Will it actually build up for those who listen? He's saying, like, the way you talk, the way that you encourage, the way that you invite people to a party, the way they interact with people in the street, the way that you type on Facebook in a political season, ha ha ha, right? So, like, it matters. Is it to the benefit of the other? And it's easy. It's easy to get caught up in conversations where for a moment we might say, hey, like, how you doing? Becca, how you doing? And before they can even answer, you're already thinking about all the other things that you want to say about yourself and what you're doing, right? And you can see that happening on the faces of other people. They ask you a question, you're like, yeah, they're not interested in me. They're just being polite. We might call that, oh, they're being kind because they're pretending to be interested in me. Like, what the Bible says is kindness is that will you put all the attention on the other. And what comes out of your mouth, is it going to benefit? Is it going to build them up? A practical example is, I experienced this probably about 4 years ago. I got involved in this thing called coaching, and not like baseball coaching or sports coaching, it's like life coaching. And this lady named Jen took me through this class, and part of it, I got this free half hour of coaching, and she sat down, and I was very suspicious of this at first. I'm like, oh, great, you're going to help motivate me to accomplish my goals, right? That sounds actually awesome. I don't know why I was suspicious of it. I'm like, oh, you want me to be really happy and clear on my direction in life? Thanks, Jen, right? And I went into the meeting not really having any idea what was going to happen, and it was supposed to be a half hour. It lasted 90 minutes. And I, no lie, I probably cried for about an hour of it, right? And I kept telling me, I don't even know why I'm crying, right? And here's why. The whole, like, idea of coaching, the whole idea of coaching is to create a space where it's all about the other. Or they may say it's all about the client. And they're going to listen. They're going to, like, reflect. They're going to say back to you what they hear. And they're going to ask life-giving questions that, like, draw out the beautiful things inside of you. And that's their whole purpose. It's not to tell you what you're doing wrong or right. It's not, here's how you fix it. It's all about creating a space where I can explore, I can dream. They believe that like the answers, the beautiful things of those goals and things that God's inviting you into are already, God's already put those in you. Let's quiet down the noise so that we can move forward on purpose. And when I was crying, I asked her, why am I crying? She goes, because it is rare that people give you the gift of themselves. In our culture, we're so fast, and we're moving along, we're making dinner, we're yelling at kids, we're, you know, getting in the van, we're trying to get to work on early, we're trying to stay late, we're trying to make, you know, things happen. Rarely do we have a spot where it's just like, okay, for the next hour, it's all about you. And it was she still coaches me. It's one of the most life-giving things is someone takes their whole attention, puts it on me, saying, whatever's going to come out of my mouth is going to benefit you. What would that look like? Wouldn't you love to have someone like that? And the truth is, we all want someone like that. You know how you do that? First, we have to do that to the other. We have to be willing to be that kind. We have to have love in action like that. But here's the deal. This just doesn't mean, all right, that it's all warm fuzzies. Kindness here then isn't just like everything comes from my mouth has to sound like this, right? It means that it's, he says, like, it's about, do not let any unwholesome talk, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. So it doesn't mean everything that comes out of my mouth to Scooter has to be like, wow, Scooter, you have an awesome hat, and I love it. Way to go. Believe in your dreams, all right? That's, like, there's times that I might have to have a hard conversation with Scooter, and that is what he needs to hear. See, kindness then isn't just nice things. Kindness is truth. Kindness is saying the reality. It's inviting people into a place of truth. Now, I know what you're thinking now. You're like, sweet, I finally get to go up and down and just tell people what they really need to hear. Hey, you're not supposed to wear sandals with socks. Yeah, you're welcome. That's kindness, right? It's not walking up and saying, hey, Chris, that doesn't match. Not even close. Get off the stage, right? Kindness is rooted out of love. And when it's rooted out of love, when you can participate in what God is doing, then you can enter into those spaces and say, you know what they might need to hear right now? Instead of spitting the plate in kindness, like, don't have an awkward conversation. There might need to be an awkward conversation happening in your home this afternoon. There might have to be a conversation at work of saying, I don't think we're spending the money the right way. There might have to be a conversation with your friends of saying, you're a way better mother than you are being right now. No one wants to hear that, right? No one wants to hear that. Someone's tapping each other right now, like, he's talking about you. No, I'm not. So, but when we can move in a place of love, now that's kindness. That's not playing the game of kindness. That's experiencing the kindness from God, getting his heart for people, getting like his vision, the way he loves, and to fight for what he's fighting for, because what he's fighting for is people. Then we have something we can extend to our friends. Then we have something we can extend to our coworkers and our neighbors that isn't just cookies, but it can change a life. That's supernatural kindness versus artificial kindness. I love that one. Practical things to build them up. Second one is life-giving friendships. The way that we can experience kindness is similar to how you have life-giving friendships. You might have like a best friend. You might have like the friend you're like, oh, we went to kindergarten together, and now we still like pretend we're in kindergarten. So it might be one of those. I thought that would be funnier than it was. So anyways, verse 32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving one another. Be kind and compassionate to one another. What Paul is saying there is if you are kind and compassionate, friends are willing to give of them best, the best of themselves to the other, right? Be kind and compassionate. If you look at all like the Greek words of what they use in the word kindness, it's like this like mishmash of all these different words that really embody like a healthy dynamic friendship. That's really like what it really comes down to. Because when your friend calls you and you're busy, you answer the phone. When your friend sends you a text and says, I'm a hot mess right now, whatever you're doing, you're rearranging your life to what? Give your best to them. Best of your time, your energy, maybe your money, your car, your clothes, like your resources. And why do we do that? Because that's what friends do. Paul is saying kindness then looks, can you do that with other people who might not be your best friends? Are you willing to be vulnerable? Are you willing to take this risk of saying, I don't know how I'm going to benefit in this conversation. I don't know how I'm going to benefit in this transaction. I don't know how I'm going to win by like doing this, but I'm going to give the best of my time to the stranger. I'm going to give the best of like my resources to this friend of a friend of a friend who's fallen on hard times. Am I willing? That's like, that's best Christmas ever. We're going to give the best of a community to a complete stranger, someone we don't know. Why? Because that's what kingdom people do. And kindness then is not like holding back the best of ourselves or just doling out a little bit and saying, all right, I'll just give you $5. I'll just say, okay, I'm praying for you. It's stopping for that mom at Walmart who's just lost it and her kids are running around. Instead of standing back saying, wow, she should learn some time management skills, right? Or she should learn some anger management skills, right? It might be stepping in and saying, it's really hard, isn't it? You're a good mom. How can I help? might be going encouraging one of their kids. It might be putting a hand on her back, you know, if it's appropriate, giving her a hug, all right? Just don't walk up to strangers like, here you go, Chris told me to do this, right? Don't do that. But there's something beautiful about a kindness that is all about the other. Practical ways of loving and then actually giving the best of yourself. The third one that he uses, he talks about that there is unsurpassable worth. Unsurpassable worth. C.S. Lewis says this, "There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal." What C.S. Lewis is saying, that every person that you interact with, every person that you talk with, that person has insurmountable worth and beauty and hope and value. And not by what they produce, not what they can accomplish, not how much they compliment you back, because they're made in the image of God. And what he talks about, he says, I believe it's in verse 30, he goes, "Don't grieve the Holy Spirit who has sealed you for the day of redemption." Like, that's like a weird thing, right? You hear like, I'm sealed? Redemption in the Holy Spirit. All right, move on, right? Like, what he's saying is this, is there's this future day where all people are going to come before God. And God is a huge fan of people. He is like the biggest fan of you. He's crazy about you. Why? Because he loves you. He created you. He wants you to thrive. He wants you to flourish. He wants you to like just succeed and grow in the best life ever, the good life. And what Paul is saying, anytime you are unkind, anytime that you are selfish, anytime where you cut people off in a conversation so you can talk about yourself instead, he's saying you are devaluing a person I love. You're robbing them of this kindness that they deserve, this kindness, this radical love that they are created for. And your love, your kindness can launch them into that good and beautiful life, just one conversation at a time, one text at a time, one tweet at a time. He's saying, have the end in mind. We bought a house in Esco recently, and we love living in Esco. And our property, the owners lived there for decades and decades and decades and planted these beautiful trees. And on the corner of our lot is this big oak tree. And it's gorgeous. It stands out amongst all the other trees. And if you think about it, that tree just didn't happen. It's like, oh, beautiful tree, strong and mature, way to go, right? That tree at some point started as an acorn. And it might have fallen off another tree. The owners might have planted it. But they had to take the time at some point to dig the hole, to give it the right water, to set up for success with the sunlight by making sure everything else is around it, not running it over with a lawnmower like I would probably do every time, right? They had to intentionally show kindness to that tree again and again and again. It wasn't just one act of kindness. It wasn't just saying, I'll just do this and it's going to be fine. They had to take care of it with every interaction. There's acorns throughout our community. There's saplings throughout this community where we get to participate in the kingdom of God. We get to participate with what God is doing in their life. John 5, 16 says, my Father is always at work, and I too to this day am working. God is at work. He's developing this beautiful, mature oak tree in every single life. Our job as kingdom people, our privilege as kingdom people, is that we get to add value to that person. Throughout your day, and really right now, honestly, just like pause and go to something else, right? Is like right now, like in social media, in conversations at your office with politics, it gets ugly quickly, right? It can get ugly quickly. What if we could just be so radical, so like completely radical, and maybe even asinine, where what comes out of our mouth, what comes out of our phones, what comes out of our computer screens, even in times like these, we can add value. We can add value to help that person develop. You have no idea how your words can impact someone for a kingdom truth. There was a guy named James. I talk about James all the time. James was a guy, a youth leader when I was, 12, 13. And I only went to youth group because the I heard that like Christian girls will actually talk to boys because they have to be nice, and no girls ever talk to me. So I'm like, yeah, girls talk to me. And I walk in like with a big bad afro. I'm like, hey, what's up, right? And I was so, imagine this. I was very awkward. I know it's hard to imagine. And James, I just told my wife yesterday, I'm like, I wish I could meet James again. James was at youth group maybe for like 3-4 months. And all he did was he remembered my name. He looked me in the eyes. And one time he gave me a big like licorice for my birthday. That was it. That's all he did. And then he had a cool black car and a cool black lab. And he wore like a bandana. And as a 13-year-old, that was it. That a guy, honestly, right? That a guy who I deemed like the coolest person in the world actually took a moment to talk to me and remember my name. I stayed at youth group because he remembered my name. Because a cool guy showed interest in me. I was just an acorn, and his kindness was just a little bit of water. His kindness of talking about his dog was like adding a little bit more sunlight to help develop me into clearly a mature oak that I am now, right? Yeah. Your words matter. Your love matters. This kindness is not a try harder. This kindness is experiencing the love of God. It is like soaking in the beauty and the joy and the wholeness and the hope that Jesus is inviting us to receive. Your kindness can transform our life. Let's stand. So as I was praying this week for this message, one of the things that we believe here at the Vineyard, it's like a foundational truth to us, is that God is good, and he wants good things for you. That is key to how we do what we do here. And one of the things that he does that is good is that he likes to talk to us. He likes to speak to us. He loves to give of himself. And so one of the things we say often before we pray is we'll say, come, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is God's like tangible presence. Like this podium is tangible. I can experience it. I can feel it. Holy Spirit is like us experiencing God's presence. And we say, come, Holy Spirit. We're not saying, hey, you're somewhere else. Just come to us for a little bit and then go back to wherever you're going, right? We're saying, God, we want more. It's like an invitation that you're good and I want to experience you, so you come even more. And as I was praying today for this service, I got this picture that I feel like God spoke to me, and I would like to invite you into it. Got a picture of a group of people sitting at their cabin, and they're like on the porch, and down the cabin is like this well-worn path to the dock. And someone, it's hot out, and they're feeling the warmth of the sun, and someone goes, let's go swim, let's go jump in. And they get up, and they're running down, they're doing like the awkward, like trying to rip off their clothes as they're running, and it's going everywhere, and they go down that well-worn path, and they hit the dock, and you hear that doom, doom, doom. And then there's the pause before they hit the water. And as you watch that, you think, wow, that looks fun. That's a good idea. And you can even picture yourself running. You can picture yourself like what it'd feel like to go on the dock. You can feel the warmth of the sand as you're running. And you think, that would be so life-giving to experience the refreshing waters. It's a good idea. The difference between an experience is an idea is getting up and actually running towards it. It's actually putting the love, the great idea of love, putting it into action. My invitation to you is I'm going to pray here. I'm going to invite the Holy Spirit to come. I'm going to ask God just to like let us experience his love, experience his kindness, experience his beauty. And some of you here, maybe the idea of connecting with Jesus, this idea of experiencing a good and beautiful life with Jesus has just been a good idea. You've never actually taken that step of like getting out of the, not out of the chair literally, but getting out of the chair and running towards the dock. Because when you hit that water, when it goes from the idea and you actually like have that pause in the air, you guys remember what's jumping off a dock? And you have that pause in the air where you just feel free. And when you experience water in the lake, it's not just a little bit. You get engulfed in it. It covers every square inch of you. That's what God wants you to do with his love. Not just dabble in it, but to cover every square inch of you. So as I pray, I'm going to invite you just to receive that. And regardless if this is the first time you've done that, or you just feel like, I would like that. That sounds good. That's all it takes for us to experience God's love is we have to, what we talked about, is just surrender. God, I'm going to take myself out of the center. I'm going to put you in the center. If that's something you'd like to do, I'd love to have you join me. Pray with me. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you. And I ask that we could experience your kindness. That we right now could experience your beauty. I pray for my friends of the whole idea of, like, I want to experience a love like that. I want to experience beauty and hope, maybe healing. Jesus, right now, we just like get out of, like, off the deck, and we just begin to walk towards you. And Jesus, will you give us the courage to continue to say yes to you? Will you help us to stay focused and to walk in the way you're inviting us to walk, to love the way you love, to fight for what you're fighting for? And we just say, come. And we lay down our lives. We just lay down the things that we've been going after for to get life, things that we've been like striving for to experience a good life. We just like push it off to the side. And Jesus, will you come and sit at the center? I surrender my life to you. You get to decide what is like worthy. You get to invite me into what is beautiful. Thank you for the way that you gave up your life on the cross. Not out of anger, not for like the finger in the chest, but you did it out of love. That you want us to flourish, you want us to thrive. And so we receive that. And thank you that you've conquered death. 3 days later, you rose again, and with it, you brought life and hope and healing. Now it can be a practical love for us. Jesus, we use the people, we use the stories, use the resources in this room, the people listening on podcast, use their stories and their resources, God, to transform communities through love and action, through kindness. We welcome you. Amen. So I'm going to invite our ministry team. These are people who have been trained in how to just pray short, simple prayers, hear your story, learn your name, and ask God to do good things for you. If there's anything you'd like prayer for, maybe you feel like you want to be kind, and you're just having a hard time being kind with people you love. Or maybe it's like some pain you have in your body that just keeps bringing back more hurt and distracts you from trying to give of your best. God, we believe that God wants to heal you. And if you maybe said that prayer for the first time, or maybe it's been a long time, you just feel like you're like, I want my mission back with Jesus. On the back of this auditorium on the table, there's these packets in there. If you want to grab one of those, it walks you through like just ways you can like take the next step in your relationship with Jesus. So thank you for coming to the Cloquet Vineyard, and have a great rest of your Sunday.